poem there is, I'm afraid, a straggler from the morning service. We're going to leap directly into prose. So very good to be here with you again and to see you all here. You know, I've joked a number of times that I have only one sermon, and you just hear it again and again and again in different forms. And if I'd had to say what that one sermon would be, it would be, just try, as compassionately as you can, to love yourselves and love each other and love your neighbor and love your enemy. It's about love in the end. But I've decided I have two sermons after all. The other one is what is needed in order to support that work, that hard, daily, grindy work of loving ourselves and each other. And it's that life is trustworthy, that nature is on your side, the powers that make and support the world are good, creative, and loving, that God is good, and you can relax a little bit. Find some hope and some power to keep on keeping on. So this is one of those. Believe in the universe. Believe in the emptiness that brought forth and brings forth being. Believe in life kind of sermons. And we need to hear these. We need to find our place in that power of love, because it's hard to live righteously, morally, compassionately, peacefully, contentedly, happily, here in the midst of this world. So for the next few weeks, actually, sermons of trust and love of life. It's good for us to give praise to this creation and to give thanks for our lives and remember who and what we are. Extremely helpful for me in recent history to this end, a book I read stuck with me more than any other I've read recently, called The Universe is a Green Dragon, written by Brian Swim, who is a cosmologist and astrophysicist. And this sermon is all of his wisdom, really. The book takes the form of a conversation between a character simply named Youth, representing all humanity here as we are in our youth, and a fellow named Thomas, who is actually Thomas Berry, a great ecological thinker. And they have a conversation. And even that structure of the book, two people together exploring ideas and creating something together, is in fact the point. Right off the bat, Swim tells us the universe is a green dragon. Thomas, the character, says that, and the youth thinks, of course, that he's being silly. It's not a green dragon. Why would you call it such? And basically his answer is, well, you got to call it something. And anything you call it, anything, even the word universe, only captures a portion of it, and so we might as well have a little fun with that. But he says there's a reason why, and I'm quoting Swim now, why I condense our scientific story of reality, right? This is what we know from looking at the stars and looking at the world. He says, here's why I condense that story into this phrase, the universe is a green dragon. Green, because the whole universe is alive. An embryogenesis. How's that? A constant giving birth, beginning with the cosmic egg of the primeval fireball and culminating in this reality. And a dragon too, nothing less, because dragons are mystical, powerful, emerging out of mystery, disappearing into mystery, fierce, benign in legend, said to teach human beings the secrets of wisdom. And dragons are filled with fire. Though we see no dragons, we are dragon fire. We are the creative, scintillating, searing, healing flame of this awesome and enchanting universe. So green dragon works for me, but seriously, plug in any word you need for the fullness of everything, of creation. For me, all of the words I throw out at you, nature, the universe, the Tao, God, love, Buddha nature, the spirit of life, they're all just different words, as is the great big thing, or the great big thing verb. I'm modifying my theology. Whatever this is that we're sharing, the world, none of these words, even the biggest words, can capture fully all that is before, within, around, and among us. Now, the Tao Te Ching, which some of us have been reading, also uses this language of the dragon for what is unfolding here, and it really works. I can imagine it's seething and writhing amongst itself, each new coil revealing new things, each scale, this is old Chinese folklore image, each scale of the cosmic dragon, you or I or some other thing, reflecting in its iridescence the whole. And that unfolding, swirling power is as deeply natural as anything could ever be. The Tao Te Ching says, whatever God is, it's part of nature. Nature comes first. This mystery, this emptiness out of which, bang, that comes first. And it's that bang that Swim wants to turn us onto and get us to think about. And in the beginning part of the book, he talks about the creation of the universe itself. First, emptiness. Of which we can say nothing, because you can't even say it's not there, because then there's a there that it's not there there. It's just... And yet from that, and we see this now in the quantum realm, from that nothingness, it is of that nature, of that emptiness, to bring forth new things. This might not be the first or even only universe, for that matter. And that this emptiness, that ground of open space and mystery is our deep nature, and it still lives in us. We're made out of atoms. And one example he gives in the book is that in any given atom, right, the nucleus is the size of a baseball. And where the electrons are, that's the outer ring of seats at Yankee Stadium. So, like, you're barely there. You're almost all empty space. That's true of every moment of our lives. That's our actual reality. And yet out of that, again, comes creativity, creation. And the beautiful, amazing thing is it's all the same stuff. For the first million years of the universe, all that there was a ball of fire. There was only fire. That rapidly expanding explosion. You can't even say that there was a giant fireball and that was the only thing in the universe. The universe, all of it, fire. Gradually, helium, hydrogen, creation, birth, destruction, the evolution of these stars, and so forth, and here we are. But nevertheless, everything that is still and only will ever be made out of what was born in that fire. So what brought things together? What made us with this remarkable world we live in of plants and art and song and language and everything? And Swim's beautiful point, and I think the most helpful thing for me, was to ask us to take something that we normally take so for granted and give it its holy due. The power of the universe is allurement. It is gravity. It is, come here. Everything that is has in its very nature, come here, right? So much soul that at the center of a galaxy, a black hole, it won't let anything go. And yet, because of that, come here. Galaxies, stars coming together, being destroyed and coming together again, growing more complex, going more beautiful along the line. From that fire began to pull itself together, and some of it did so here. We're standing on a giant burning ball of molten fire, if you go down far enough. And this notion that gravity itself, which we feel all the time, but but cannot explain. It is simply built into the nature of things that that is what brings the world together. And Swim's basic point then is allurement, the come here, the I want, the desiring of life, the reaching out to things that are beautiful, to other people, to building community, to growing together, that that energy that we feel as human beings is none other than the very energy of the universe itself. And the best theology I've ever read says, God created the world for the sake of company, to share with others, out of a desire to see more, to know more, to have more. From the Rig Vedas, you may recall this reading from a few months back. This is 4,000-year-old writing. Somebody wrote, there was neither non-existence nor existence then. There was neither the realm of space nor the sky which is beyond. What stirred? Where? There was no distinguishing sign of night or day. That one breathed windless by its own impulse. Darkness was hidden by darkness. But the life force that was covered with emptiness, that one arose through the power of heat. Desire came upon that one in the beginning. That was the first seed of mind. Desire, allurement, come here. And so the universe wants us to be in the midst of this thing, and I would say to share in that creative, alluring power. The whole point of our lives is to create community. It's to create, to experience love and allurement and enchantment, the wonder of being, the beauty of the stars, even at great risk. Somewhere along the dragon, making the whole universe, wanted to say to somebody, I need your help. Hey, go for it. You're free. Add yourself to this mix. Now, the problem, of course, is that riding this dragon is a lot like being on a roller coaster. It's scary at times. It has its ups and downs. And most of the time, while the universe is unfolding and our life is going along, we may feel like we're in the front row, like, not really sure if the thing's going to hold or if we're going to make it. And as exciting and wonderful and beautiful and thrilling as the world is, we can't pretend like it's not a really scary ride. The universe has those black holes and they eat stars. Stars die, worlds die, and of course, right down here in this simple world, people die. This dragon eats its own tail. But if you need proof that it wants you and that you have your place here, simply try to escape. They tried yesterday. It turns out that's not what the universe does for us. The being that will intervene and make things better, pick some people over others, let us escape, it doesn't happen. When I stand in the midst of my frustration and say, I'm done, I'm tired, I don't want to fight the fight anymore, take me away. That's it. I'm going to leap into space and be done. Always the same silent answer from our mother, which is, you're not going anywhere. You're on the ride now. Clack, 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 clack. So you pretty much can respond to that as you need to. You might not want to sit in the front, that's okay, but I recommend opening your eyes. I recommend embracing what is before you, being grateful for the thrill of being at all, and remembering that in you, the call to create, the call to bring together, the call for newness, that is as ancient as the universe itself. It's who you are. Now, when you get off the ride, you might need to lie down a little bit, and that's a good place to be, and probably more of us need to be there, lying with our backs on the earth, feeling her call, feeling that heat. The cosmic powers are all around you, friends. Just look up, or look around, or look within, because there's a dragon sleeping here. We'll stop there.